Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew Hughes. He is Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Tiffany has been suspended following a hotel incident. What's going on here, Aaron?
Well, something that I didn't know, I don't know if you did, but she's married to Drew McIntyre, and apparently they had a little incident in a hotel room, and it turned out that basically what happened was she went crazy. They had a fight, they had an argument, and they decided, well, you know, we don't need this type of publicity, so we have to suspend you. So, I don't know, I think it's probably the best move, but then again, I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, I've been told that dating within the business is actually one of the worst things you can do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Triple H and Stephanie, our Triple H in China, should we say that? Because they had that big problems there. And then, of course, you know, Sean Waltman dated her afterwards. That's the only ones that come to mind right away. I mean, I know there's been others.
Stacy Keibler, she dated a few people, too.
David Flair. Wow. Mm-hmm. He's really gone uphill from there. Not. But we do have one sad story this week to talk about. Lance Cade has passed away. He was 29. You might remember him best as Jericho's homie, if you want to call him that.
He's his lackey, you know.
Yeah, his guy who, if he needs chips, he goes to get the chips for him. If you catch my drift, but yeah, it's kind of sad that he passed away. But I mean, how many wrestlers have passed away recently? I mean, there's been a lot. It feels that.
There really has been. I mean, and it's nothing against Lance Cade or his legacy. I mean, it's not like he was an amazing wrestler. At least I didn't feel like he was. And that's not saying that, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You know, what I'm, you know, trying to get across is that, you know, when somebody like Eddie Guerrero passed away, that was an exceptionally sad because he passed away and he had a good 5-10 years left in him. You know, Lance Cade, it's unfortunate. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And, you know, it's just a sad subject, you know? I mean, whenever someone passes away, you kind of you don't know what to say sometimes. So I guess the best thing here would almost be to move on to SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Before we even start on this, I just want to say that I was pleasantly surprised on how good the entire pay-per-view was as a whole. Not like just a couple of things that happened, but the entire pay-per-view actually I thought flowed very well. And it's definitely one of those that if you didn't buy, after you heard everything that happened, you definitely want to get the replay. Definitely want to get the replay. In fact, if the replay wasn't coming along with when I bought the pay-per-view, it was going to come. That's how good it was. I don't know what you thought about it, Aaron.
I was pretty pleased with it. I mean, it was kind of hard in some parts, you know, to watch. I mean, there are just some things they just, I don't think, did correctly. But one of the things I do want to talk about, though, is that Sheamus retained his title via DQ. And he really has become a horrible champion since, you know, as we all know, I mean, he has not actually successfully defended his title ever.
Do you think he's going to, though? Do you think at Night of Champions he's going to?
You know, I don't know. I mean, depending on what type of match they do for Night of Champions, I mean, you know, we'll find out. But honestly, I mean, they just, you have to have him defend his title successfully a few times, you know, convincingly. You know, and yeah, sure, he's beaten Evan Bourne, but Evan Bourne doesn't have the clout that, let's say, Randy Orton. If he would have beat Randy Orton, he would have skyrocketed.
Especially if he did it clean. But I don't think you can actually go clean in that, you know, against Orton. There's no reason to do that yet. Mm-hmm. I almost think that they're going to do something where they have like a fatal four-way at Night of Champions and then have him pin like the weakest person in that group, which could be Evan Bourne if you want to say that. Or I don't think you're going to see him pin Cena or Orton right now. Maybe Edge or Jericho, but I don't think you'll see those two guys though.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see what they do. So, but one of the things, though, is that Kane retained the title against Rey Mysterio, and during that time, The Undertaker returned.
Yep.
Do you like that?
I don't know, dude. The thing is, like, Undertaker, he's not like that big monstrous guy anymore to me. He's just there to me. Like, okay, it's time to call, you know, like, he needs just to call it a career and then come back, you know, like, maybe once a month or once a quarter or once a year or something. It's just, he came back and I was like, oh, he came back. Yay. That's how I took it. I don't know how you took it.
Well, you know, I'm not a big Undertaker fan, you know, and he has had some great matches. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, him and Shawn Michaels last year, it was a phenomenal match, you know, and I can say that being, a mark against Undertaker, but he needs to leave he needs to leave being an active wrestler. He needs to do so. But I think the other thing too was that Kane retained, and he did so clean, just how Sheamus could have done it. Mm-hmm. And I really think that if you watched any of the SummerSlam commercials, that you would know the reason why Rey Mysterio lost is because he forgot his straw.
Yep, 7-Eleven.
Yep.
There are no 7-Elevens around where I live, and the place that I work, the town had it, but now it burned down apparently. So I don't get those cups, even though I probably would buy one, and I know I'd probably forget my straw as well. But anyway, so I just want to say I called it from last week. I just want to point this out. I called this. I don't know why. I just had a gut feeling about what was going to happen at the pay-per-view. And I don't know if we really touched on it too much, but when I got done, all of a sudden you sent me an instant message and you said, hey, I'm like, what? You're like, Daniel Bryan's the seventh guy. I'm like, bull crap. No way. And then you sent me the article, and it was posted, an hour before?
It was posted over an hour before Daniel Bryan made his return. Somebody posted an article saying Daniel Bryan made his return tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so people freaked out about that. They're like, oh my God, he's the seventh man. But man, I really hope, somebody needed to get fired over that.
Oh yeah, because it ruined it. I mean, if you weren't watching at all and then you sat down, you're not reading anything on the internet, and you know, at least one person saw it, then you got an excellent screen cap from it, actually, by the way. Excellent. It was near perfect. I don't know. I'd be kind of upset, but I would also be kind of pumped that he's back, but it ruined the surprise for me. Because
if I would have been watching it and I just saw him come out, I would have freaked out. Like, I would have freaked.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of misspelled words sent back and forth from us.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing about the screen cap in particular, I don't know if anybody really pays attention to it too much, but every week we have a new picture up there, and he puts all the graphics on there and whatnot. And this week, even though it's not like a picture that we would normally use, this week we're actually going to use the screen cap from Daniel Bryan returning. So actually take a look at the artwork this week if you normally don't do it. So.
Yeah, definitely, dude, definitely. One thing I will say, even watching it now, when they say when The Miz came out, he thought he was like, yeah, I got this. And they're like, oh, Wiz, no, it's not you. We all picked this guy. He hates the Nexus just as much as we do. And then I wish he would have been like, and here he is, and not even said the name.
I do too. I really do. I actually think John Cena, I think he messed up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that was a bad call. I wish that he would have just be like, and here's this guy. And then just had him, the music kicked, no video, and then he just walked out. But I wish he would have came out in the American Dragon robe. Because if he would have came out, then you would have, there would have been a lot of like chit-chat, like, who is it? And they were like, it's Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan. And then he could have said it, and I think it would have been more effective then.
I agree. But, I wholeheartedly agree.
But by the way, his move, his version of the crossface, that looks worse than any move ever.
I agree.
It looks like he's really like, because if you really lock someone in that move, the crossface was going to hurt anyways, but how would you like to have your arm in a position literally where if you're trying to move it forward, you're going to get hurt even more? You're going to hurt your neck even more in real life. So the fact that he locked that on there, and Darren, you know, poor Darren Young, he's just their whooping boy. I feel so bad for him, but he took it. But it was really nice. It was really nice. And of course, Team Raw won. Of course, the reason why Daniel Bryan got eliminated was because The Miz decided to come in and hit him with the Money in the Bank suitcase. And of course, you know, pin 1, 2, 3. And that's why he was eliminated. Kind of, I didn't like that part. I wish they would have had him actually, you know, beat the Nexus. But I see the point. Anyways,
it's for his character. I must say, I think they did it correctly, because if you would have just had him get pinned, it's like, well, you know, is he really that big of a deal then? But if you have him get pinned because of interference, it doesn't hurt him nearly as much.
Oh, yeah, definitely, dude. I understand. Completely understand. Anyways, on Raw, I was waiting for them to do this, and finally, after, what, like 30 weeks, the Raw got new tag titles. They decided to get rid of the four belts and went down to two. So one apiece now. I gotta talk about this. I hate the belts. Number one, no nameplate. I mean, what do you think, dude?
You know, the nameplate thing doesn't bother me nearly as much. I know that in WCW, for example, you know, you only had the World Heavyweight Championship, the WCW Heavyweight Championship. That was the only one with a nameplate, at least to my knowledge. I think it's the only one, or was the only one.
It is.
And so for this, that doesn't bother me nearly as much. But I think with the titles, one of the things I really like are having the titles being very unique. And for the tag titles, for almost, I think, every organization that at least that I can think of, the tag titles are fairly rectangular. And the other titles, the single titles, are circular, tend to be, or oval-shaped. For example, the IC title is more of an oval, and the old WWF World Heavyweight Championship during the Attitude days, that one is a circle.
Yep.
So I actually kind of would have rather preferred them to go along with tradition and go with a more of a rectangular look to it. So
what's the deal with the Spartans on there as well?
That's another thing I thought that was kind of weird.
I don't know. Like when I, you know, like every, if you, yeah, you're right. If you look at every tag title, they are a certain way. It's almost like this sounds really weird because, you know, you're not supposed to judge everything by size, but the tag titles are the same size as United States, their current United States championship belt. And I thought that was kind of weird because usually they're smaller because, you know, like you go from your women's and it just, you know, it gradually increases all the way up to, I think the world title is like 13.5 inches. I don't know. It just, to me, it just got to me. Like, they're not supposed to be on the same par, if that makes sense. Like, they're supposed to be smaller, but whatever.
I think the other thing, too, is that I like how when they had the ECW belt and they had it being silver, I thought that was a pretty smart move. You know, having the main title be gold, the secondary title be silver, I can understand that. And then if you have a third title, you know, like a European championship, and that's bronze, okay, I understand. But the tag titles are anymore don't have nearly as much, you know, they're not as prestigious as even, I would say, the U.S. title. And I think the U.S. title right now is worth nothing.
Yep.
But in TNA, the tag titles, those are they are worth the same amount as the actual TNA Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So two of the six matches entered in a countout for Nexus. Don't get it. Don't care about the count out. Didn't make sense. Why do they do it in all the matches? Doesn't make sense. Or, and you know, two.
And realistically, Jericho, he jobbed to Wade Barrett. Wholeheartedly did. Mm-hmm. And then when you had Skip Sheffield, he actually pinned Morrison, like in their tag team match, you know. Mm-hmm. Those were the only two that actually ended with a normal end. So
unbelievable. Since Darren Young is out of Nexus, we're going to see a face turn, or is he going to stay a heel?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of was curious what you thought of it, because looking at everybody in there, he almost seems like he should be the face, originally we talked about Justin Gabriel, but I actually think he's doing a pretty good job as a heel. And I kind of wanted to know what you thought, if Darren Young is actually the person right now who is the most likely to become a face.
I still think Justin Gabriel, but the fact that here's what I think they're going to do with Darren Young. I think him and Percy Watson, I think those two are going to do something together because they did in Florida Championship Wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if they put them have them do that again. Cause I mean, they're funny together. Like they play very well off each other, and that's, you know, with the goofy look and the goofy hair. That's what I think is going to happen. So yeah, I think he's going to be a face, but I think he's going to just completely go away from Nexus.
I wouldn't mind seeing it because WWE really needs tag teams, and they need them bad. Because right now their tag team divisions they're non-existent. I mean, you had the Hart Dynasty, and they were taking on the Usos or whatever.
Yeah, from SCW.
They're not even really there anymore.
Yeah.
So who are they going to take on now? You know,
exactly.
The Dude Busters. You know, no.
The Dude Busters. Yeah, I hear you. But anyways, moving on to SmackDown. Albert Del Rio finally debuts. He should have just kept his mask. That's all I'm going to say. What do you think, dude?
He is pretty big, don't get me wrong. You know, so I can understand maybe wanting to get rid of it. But I really think that they should have kept his name for the lineage. And the mask, I think, would have helped too. And if anything else, after a year, mask versus mask match or a mask versus hair match, you know, you do something like that.
Yeah.
I think that would get the fans a little excited for it. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But so another thing here. So Matt Hardy injured he's injured now?
His foot got injured, and they're saying he's going to take some time off. So it looks like that IC, the six-person IC team, you know, that we had going on.
Yeah.
It's going to drop to five now, it looks like. Yeah.
Well, Del Rio could hop on in, though, but I don't think he'd be as good.
Yeah, but I think he's going to stay with the Rey Mysterio feud, it looks like.
Okay. Now, is Hardy's injury legit, though?
Yes, they're saying it actually is legit. He is taking time off because what I read, and this could be wrong, but they have an overseas tour that they're doing right now, and he actually is not there with them.
Okay. Well, then he must be really hurt. Anyway, so they continue the Taker and Kane feud. It's getting a little hotter. What's going on with this?
Yeah, they're just pushing this one along. I think that we kind of talked about it a couple weeks back, and I mean, the only thing I would – you know, try to say again is that, we don't need to see this again. I mean, Kane and Taker, they're both not in their prime anymore. They're both aging, and this feud is not going to do anything for SmackDown. And even though Alberto Del Rio, I don't really care for him that much. I think that he would help out a lot more, and they should have him, you know, feud with, like if Kane stayed a good guy, mm-hmm. have Alberto feud with Kane. To put Alberto up, you know, that would help out, in my opinion.
No, I see what you're saying, dude.
Yeah.
So that was SmackDown. NXT, though, Percy Watson has been eliminated by an on-screen graphic. I didn't
like
this.
Did you like that?
No. Didn't like it. I thought it was dumb how they did it.
It was in the middle of the show, out of nowhere. It said, Percy Watson has been eliminated. It's like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like that's complete crap. They shouldn't have done that. I almost wonder if it was by accident, but I think there have been something said by now if it was done by accident. So then,
I think it's really stupid.
Yeah. And so then we had Husky Harris. He was next. He got eliminated, of course, through their on-screen weird graphic thing that they had going. You know, I didn't think he would, but I also thought he would. So because of that, Husky and. And dashing Cody Rhodes aside to beat up Caval. I don't understand what the point of that was, besides the fact they had feuds in FCW.
I think that they're trying to have something set in place for after when NXT is over, because they could have Caval and Husky kind of butting heads there, or they could even have Caval and Cody Rhodes if Caval goes to SmackDown, let's say.
Good call. That is true. Yeah, that could happen. They feuded before, and you know they worked good together. So I wouldn't be surprised them working good. one thing I thought without, you know, Alex Riley, Cavall, and Henning left, I think that it's going to go to Alex Riley still. Or it's not going to go to Cavall. Cavall won't win. There's no way they can have him win. So it's going to be, you know, one of those. But anyways, when with the attack, Ryder, MVP, and Kofi made the save, I wonder if they're going to do something with that or make Zack Ryder, you know, a face.
Well, that's what I was wondering, too. I mean, I thought it was interesting because normally on NXT, I mean, there's not a whole lot of action. So,
No. But no. Anyways, you know what does give a lot of action, though?
Section86.com?
GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer 6 size, see site for details. TNA. RVD is going to be out for a while, and the reasoning behind it is, Aaron, what?
He had so many dates that he was going to work on his contract, and the amount of dates that he has worked so far, he's basically, they're running out of dates. So they decided to, you know, basically get rid of him. But the one thing I'm going to say that I really don't like about it is that RVD should have lost the title to somebody to make somebody else a superstar. And instead they did this. And I really don't like it.
I do. I like this a lot, dude. The reason being is because it doesn't make him look weak at all. And with RVD's character, it actually, to me, I think it makes him look better because he's like, I am completely injured. There's no way I can wrestle. I'm going to have to drop the, you know, give up the title. And I think that's a good way for him doing it. Like, in all seriousness, if Sheamus was to win a couple of matches and then he was just like, I'm hurt, I can't defend the title. Actually, I think that would make him powerful. And that's what I think they did with RVD here. I think it makes him look powerful.
Well, it goes to show we don't agree on everything. So
nope. So Hardy, Anderson, Angle, and Pope move on to fight for the title. All faces? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I mean, do you like this? Because I actually really dislike it because, you know, I understand in a pay-per-view doing a face versus face, you know, if they're like trying to be the number one contender, they're trying to go for the title or something like that, you know, and that's okay. You have four faces, though, moving on. You know, unless you're going to turn Angle or Pope heel, because Hardy is not going to be a heel. Anderson was just a heel, and then you immediately turn him face. So you have Angle and Pope. Angle resonates very well with the fans, and he can do either one. But Pope, I don't think would be that good of a heel. So I don't know. I mean, I honestly think that if they want this to be successful, they need someone to turn heel.
So wait, okay, I'm confused now. You consider the Pope a face?
Dude, he's a face.
I don't think he is, dude. I think he's a heel.
No, I mean, just because like him and Anderson are kind of have this little mini feud going on where they're like, you know, Anderson attacked Pope and then now Anderson's a face and Pope doesn't trust him. Pope is still a face, though, you know?
I took it differently. I always thought he was a heel, but okay, I understand. Well, yeah, if they're, but you know, like as you're saying, they're all considered faces. I think it's weird that they would, you know, want to do something like that. You'd think they want to have, you know, at least one heel in there, somebody. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so it's Fortune is the new NWO or Nexus. I'm going with NWO.
Yeah, I mean they're going out and they're beating everybody up, and it's exactly what you know the NWO would do or what Nexus is doing now. I mean they beat up EV 2.0. They beat up Hogan, you know, Double J, Nash, and Sting. I mean, they're kind of just doing their own thing. So I don't know. I mean, do you even like it? I mean, does that kind of make you, you know, want to watch what's going to happen next?
No, not at all. I actually think it's I think it's dumb when they do this because here's why. You have to watch the other product. And if the other product is doing that now or they're just about to end it like they are with Nexus – you don't start up again. That I just frustrates the crap out of me because we just saw it with the Nexus and it got old real fast. Now basically TNA is doing the same thing that WWE did, and it's way too old. They should have done that months ago before the Nexus started, and then I think I've been okay. But they need to let some time go by.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, dude?
You know, I agree with you. I mean, I do. I think that they should have let some time go by. So.
Anyway, but like the beat up on, you know, Hogan, JJ, and Double J, I'm sorry, Nash and Sting, man, that didn't do anything for me. So.
Yeah.
So, hey, do we have enough time for a weekly topic?
It's up to you. I mean, I got one ready. I don't know if it'll be a little controversial.
Really?
Yeah, it's the 10 best wrestling factions ever, according to Aaron Hughes.
You know,
at number 10
is not going to be listed this week because we're going to talk about it next week. Or do you really want to talk about it?
The 10 best wrestling factions ever, according to Aaron Hughes.
All right,
at number 10, we have the Natural Born Thrillers.
What?
Do you remember the Natural Born Thrillers?
Dude, no. No, you can't. No, they're not. They're not a good faction, dude.
The reason why I liked them was because it was the youth movement in WCW at the time, and I really liked some of the stuff that they did. I liked Mike Sanders, above average Mike Sanders, you know. I liked that. I thought it was really funny, you know, because you have the phenomenal or the amazing, you know. He's above average. And I like the people in there, and I thought that they had a good thing going with that. At number 9, I have it's a duel because the each faction, the only reason they exist was because of the other one, and they weren't good by themselves. At number 9, I have Misfits in Action and Team Canada.
Okay.
And my thought on that is that Team Canada, you know, I thought that it was really funny when Lance Storm was doing his thing. You know, I really like that connection they had there. At number 8, I have the Alliance, which was WCW and ECW. Mm-hmm. I really like the thing that they had there in the, you know, in the 2000s. Number 7 is the Corporate Ministry.
Okay.
Number 6 are the Radicals, which of course were Perry Saturn, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, when they came over.
And Dean Malenko.
Don't mean to forget Dean. Thousand hole. I really liked, you know, when they came over and they really helped out WWF at the time. Number 5 is the Flock. In WCW's days, the Flock was really great, and I think that they were. I really loved the Flock. I really did. So.
Okay.
Number 4, NWO.
Wow.
Nothing easy said about that. Number 3, DX. The reason DX is above NWO, DX, realistically, they had 4 or 5 members at a time. That was it. NWO went from like 3 to 30 to, you know, NWO, I think they really botched it there.
Yep.
Number 2, the Four Horsemen.
Okay.
I don't, the lineage, the history, you know, nothing really else needs to be said. At number 1, and this is mine, my favorite, the Filthy Animals.
What?
The Filthy Animals. Why they're my number 1? Because they were high flyers. They were, to me, incredibly exciting to watch. And they were the only team to ever win the Cruiserweight Tag Team titles.
Are you kidding me? That's your number 1?
So the reason they're my number 1, they were my favorite. Now, not based on any history or anything like that. That's why they're my favorite.
Oh, so, gosh. We're going to – wow. Next week, I just want to talk about them and why I don't think they're number 1. That's it.
Well, that's my list. You know what we should do for next week? You should go over your top 10.
Well, we're going to have to because I'm sorry, but your top 10 sucked. I can't – the Filthy Animals, dude, they have a special place in my heart, dude, but they are not number 1.
And like I said, there's a reason they're number 1. It's because I like them that much.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so that was Aaron's top 10 list. We'll see what happens. we got to talk about my list next week because of this. So hey, I just want to say thanks to our listeners out there. Of course, Section 86, A6 Productions. I want to thank, of course, my co-host for coming on, Mr. AP Hughes. You can find him on the Twitter at AP Hughes. I'm Andrew Hughes. You can find me at ahughes86. We're Off the Mark 86. And until next time, we're tagging out.